This is Villainista Nicole, and I'm just waiting for Mel to pass on so I can be Big Sam's second wife. You're listening to DU Football Show.
Sounds like it's going to be sooner rather than later, too.
Jesus Christ, the amount of existential dread she's fucking dealing with right
my
now.
My God.
I told her she was acting like Kitty from that 70s show, the up and downs with yeah. the whole circle of yeah. life thing going no, on.
Shit. So when did she start yeah. the pills and booze at noon?
After we start the show.
Born in the land of Bowie, Maryland. Bred to be a fan of fucking Everton. Punch you in the eye and drink your rye. Sam Houston.
Sam Houston.
Arsenal fans have another Sam. Great AA, the fucking Gooner Graham. Smells of a lord. Looks great in shorts. Sam Grammy.
Sam Graham.
Fucking United!
Hello and welcome to the DU Football Show, a completely biased recap of the English Premier League as told by two common American schmucks.
That's us.
I am your host, Sam Houston, and across the way from me, no matter how much advice I give him, he'll never fucking take it.
No.
My co-host, Mr. Samuel Graham.
I told you, I'm already living that life, man. Just, the rules change every day.
You know, hey, when you have that fourth girl... when you have that fourth girl, just know, I'm not laughing with you. I'm laughing at you. We're recording at the DU Public House just outside the nation's capital. You can check us out wherever you get your podcasts. And of course, streaming live every single Monday night with all the good people that are watching. Should you want to chat with us, there are as many ways that you can. Mr. Graham, tell the good people how they can get in touch.
Absolutely. It is at DU Football Show on all the social media. DUFootballShow@gmail.com to get in touch via email. And then make sure you're joining that closed Facebook group. That's where all the hashtag bants are. One of my favorites today was likening Garnacho from Manchester United with superimposed Michael Jackson's face on it because they have the same chiseled cheekbones, yep, and yep. it's brilliant.
And then, of course,
it's Drunken United FC on Facebook. Find that group and be a part of it.
And, of course, Rio Ferdinand being handled. That got put up a couple, two, three times. In the group. It was very, yeah. very interesting.
A lot of fun stuff.
And, of course, you know, Smokey. Being, you know, the supportive friend that he is, making it a point to mock my team mercilessly.
Yeah.
That's okay. The good news that I do know is that it's only a matter of time before West Ham fuck it off and he'll be crying and desperate and wanting to jump off the fucking, you know, the Grand
whatever
Canyon
sand
again.
Dune he is out there in the desert he's got to jump off of.
Absolutely the case. Sam and myself both work in the wine and spirit industry and both have a deep, passionate love for all things distilled spirits. So as the red-blooded Americans we are, we vow to have a drink in our hand throughout this show and every single show. We are on to number 8 on Whiskey Advocate's Top 20. This was phenomenal, neat, and I have really know nothing about it other than the house that makes it. So I'm yes. very excited to hear about this this
yeah,
whiskey.
Yeah, same. And I'm really excited to see what the water does to it, too. It was delicious, neat. I want to see how it opens up and expands. This is the Glenmorangie A Tale of the Forest. This comes in at 92 proof and should run you right around $100. I found it for $100.
There we go.
It was pretty decent. Your blurb this week comes from Jeffrey Lindenmuth. And they also, the tasting panel at Whiskey Advocate, rated it a 94. Obviously, I probably should have told you this. Glenmorangie, I just figure people know this. It is a single malt Highland Scotch.
Mm-hmm. Whiskey without the E.
Undermaster distiller turned mad scientist Dr. Bill Lumsden, Glenmorangie has earned its position at the avant-garde of Scotch. While not every one of his experiments goes as planned, this expression should please traditionalists and adventurous drinkers alike. The familiar sweetness of vanilla and orange is draped with complex aromas created by kilning.
That's the smoking of the barley.
Thought it was, yeah. Okay. I've never seen that used as a verb. That's what threw me.
Heard.
Kilning the barley over woodland botanicals, including juniper berries, birch bark, heather, and peat. The process lends a distinctively earthy and nutty nose, with smoke that evokes mesquite and peppery beef sticks, and then balances the fruity palate with savory elements of jalapeno, spearmint, and eucalyptus. Yeah, I've never seen that word used as a verb.
So it doesn't surprise me to hear that they use peat, but the peat does not take it over. American barbecue.
Oh, yeah.
Smoke. Yeah. Like smell. Like, you said like beef mesquite. Stick. Yeah. It smells like when you do a brisket, Sam. That's what it smells like. It has that kind of smell to it.
Yeah. Is that a dig or good?
No. Okay. Good. It smells like American barbecue, you know?
No, I didn't know if it was like, my briskets are fucked up.
No, your briskets are good. Yeah, I'm trying to give you approval here. You know, the thing you've been waiting for your entire life. Yeah.
Thanks, Dad.
Yeah, look, just don't get too emotional. I've already got one woman in my life crying. I don't need you crying, too.
I'll say, you know what the worst part about it was, especially with that intro, with the how many girls do I go to, is you skipped that stage of life and went straight to dementia. So.
Yeah, well, you know.
No, you've got that to look forward to.
I'm getting up there. The juniper. It's the juniper and the bark. That really
definitely. The bark is
that
is
shines.
It's almost like a birch wood. It almost has like a birch beer smell to it.
Yeah, it is fucking delightful. And Glenmoe typically will have multiple things at the list. There was that essentially the single grain of American That's oak good. That they did from a few years ago, the blue bottle.
Yes.
I know Cole bought that bottle like three times. She liked it that
delicious,
much.
That bottle. That was the single estate 15-year-old, I think, that we that was on the list. It was fucking phenomenal, that bottle of whiskey.
I see another one of those in the wild. I'm buying it because
it's very good.
That bottle is fucking exceptional.
I also would like to smoke with this bottle.
Yeah. Now I'm not sure I'm going to want to drink this bottle.
That kiss of peat makes me want a cigar more and more with it.
Yeah, I'm not so sure it would be like a whiskey I would want to drink all the time, because my go-to isn't to grab a bottle of scotch, typically, right. You know? But it's real fuck good.
It's very good.
It's really, really good.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I really like this a lot.
Because we've had... Yeah, there was the blue label that was the American White Oak, essentially single vineyard.
It was a single
farm of barley.
I think it was single estate 15-year. Was that year? Yeah, and it was like number 7 on the list or something.
Yeah, and then this
one comes in at number 8. It's just as good.
Quinto Noval, the port finished one, got on the list 1 year. They do a Sauternes. They don't say it's Chateau Joachim, but Moët Hennessy owns Chateau Joachim. Okay. Moët Hennessy owns Glenmorangie. It's pretty safe.
Better
to
known by its street name, the Phoenix.
Yeah, exactly.
No good.
No, this is bloody exceptional. if you are a Scotch drinker and you see this bottle in the wild, it is a perfect $100 bottle.
It's interesting. It's different, but it does tick all the traditional boxes. I mean, I think the blurb was actually 100% spot on. I'm one that typically kind of strays from the blurb.
Yeah.
And Whiskey Advocate usually. This I thought it. He nailed that description to a T.
Water does give, as it's watered down a little, it does give a little bit of sharpness on the tongue that wasn't there with it neat. But either way, this is bloody fucking fantastic.
Yeah, it's delicious.
All right. What else do we always got
to
do, Mr. Graham?
Always remember to drink responsibly.
I love it. Let's get into the action, Mr. Graham. Cheers.
Cheers, sir. That might be the best clink we've ever had with this mug.
Yeah, it wasn't half bad. There we go. There's
the dainty little.
There's only one place to begin. The Manchester Derby. Manchester City 3, Manchester
the
United 1.
The clowns of Manchester 1.
Hey, you know what? I mean, until we got to the end of the match and City eventually kind of ran away with it, it was cagey and ugly, and it was... bookended honestly when it was 1-1 by two fucking wonder goals, like just two gorgeous fucking goals. As much as I sit here and rail about what fucking frauds United are, that was a gorgeous fucking strike from Rashford.
Oh yeah, I mean, there's nothing you can do to stop that. It's just perfect. And literally, if he was an inch further out, half an inch further out, that smacks off the face of the crossbar.
Right.
Everything about that was perfect. He kept his body over it, but got so much backlift, hit it so hard that there was still rise in the ball, you know?
Yep. So that if the keeper, you know, Ederson could, he just was never going to get a hand
to it. He was just never going to get to it.
Just never. It was
never going to get to it. And the shame for United is, I mean, City dominated every facet of this game from start to fucking finish, except that. Yeah. United had a total of 3 shots, and only one of which was on target, and it happened to be this one.
And the other thing United... I mean,
City never looked in any real concern. And now, United, though, played like West Ham. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? They defended very low. They tried to make it ugly. And maybe it's just the bias of having watched United dominate for so long, mm-hmm. you know, through the late 90s and early 2000s when you know, those great bouts between Sir Alex and Arsene Wenger, and then Jose mm-hmm. Mourinho gets thrown in the mix and blah, 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 blah.
Right.
That I'm just not used to seeing United play like fucking West Ham or play like, you know.
Here's what this was the vibes I got from it. Until there was the second goal, when it was 1-1, the vibes I got from United was Ten Hag watched exactly what Villa did at Villa Park against City, and they replicated it perfectly. And it almost worked.
Yeah.
It really did almost work.
I do enjoy very much the stat that Manchester City, I think, had 27 shots overall.
Mm-hmm.
Manchester United only had 23% possession. Those numbers don't right. cross over very often.
The math doesn't math very well there.
Yeah. And that was one of the best digs that I saw was Manchester City had more shots than United had possession. I thought that was brilliant.
Well, and then once the second goal happened from Foden, it was.
I think Onana could have done better there, by the way.
I don't disagree.
I think he was very late reacting to that, and he shouldn't have been. I don't think it was a particularly good strike. I don't think... Foden obviously didn't catch it cleanly. It was bouncing. Onana should have got that ball, in my opinion.
But the minute he got that second goal, it was like you knew there was nothing that United could do that was going to make that game 2-2.
I'll tell you what it wasn't. The one thing that I know for a fact that wasn't going to make it 2-2 was subbing off Rashford and putting Antony on.
Yeah.
What the fuck is that little twirly bird going to do?
I don't know.
Absurd move by Ten Hag, in my opinion. I don't care if he's tired, like how tired he is. You fucking leave Rashford on the field unless his leg's broken.
So this one...
That's stupid.
Again, I understand that I am an Everton supporter and my team is dog shit and a mess right now, but I would like to say the following to any United supporter watching. I'm looking at you right now in the camera. Or you listening over the podcast platforms. You all are a bunch of frauds. Stop fucking thinking for a second. Stop fucking thinking for a second you're going to Champions League. You fucking aren't.
No.
You fucking aren't. Stop it.
Ray, he might be talking to you directly right now. I know you're there, and I know you're watching.
So just... But that's the thing. Like, everybody... Well, even the pundits, because... United being good is the story, right? You've talked about this all the time.
Mm-hmm.
As much as you hate United... You want United to be good.
They need them to be good.
They need to be good.
It helps the strength of the league.
And they had that little run in the early fall that everybody thought, wow, they haven't lost in like 8 straight. Yeah, they're beating fucking Sheffield 2-1.
Yeah, but they were shit. Exactly that. Like, their performances were garbage. We said this at the time. And everybody says we don't know what we're talking about.
And
we said this at the time. Their performances were dog shit.
And then they did it again in late December through January where they were doing the same thing. Mm-hmm. And it was like...
They're like 6 or 7 without losing.
Do not be impressed. Don't be impressed. And correct. Then they lost that game to Fulham. And uh-huh. then they went into this one. You could tell they were barely hoping they could get away with a point. That's what they were praying for.
It was absurd.
Yes, Mel.
Ray says, never said we were going to. And agrees Antony coming on was fucking dumb.
I mean, that's when you knew he threw the towel in.
Yeah.
That's when you knew he threw the towel in. It was over at that point.
Yeah. You also have to wonder, like, who's getting sold. Like,
here's the problem. We've said for years there's been a problem in the front office. That's been known, right? Mm-hmm. So think of, like, look at what Alanga's doing, what he did, and what he's doing at Forest now, right? He's dangerous. He provides opportunities for others. He's taken a few chances himself. He's done this. And then... Look what €100 million got you
mm-hmm.
in Antony.
Yeah.
And see who's on the better side of that ledger, Forest or United.
Right.
Now, arguably, it's true. Pound for pound, United are a better team and in a better position.
Of course.
But I'm talking about what you sold and what you replaced him with in the exact same position.
Right.
And it's a massive downgrade.
Yeah, it absolutely.
And Langa also doesn't beat his girlfriend, and Anthony does. So not only does he not perform, he's also a bit of a cunt.
Yeah. The one thing they have going for them that I will say is you do have Hoyland is looking good, and Garnacha is looking good, and Manio, is it the kid playing
Manu?
Manu. So there's some good young bones, and was Alonga a straight out sale or a loan? I thought he was.
Excuse me. Yeah. I thought he was permanent.
Okay, I wasn't sure about that. And Sancho is a loan, right?
Yeah, because they couldn't get anybody to buy him. Right. He also beats his girlfriend.
So you wonder though with Sancho, if it's not Ten Hag, does Sancho come back into the fold and, you know, offer something to the team? But there's at least some younger pieces. But then you look right up the spine of the team, and it's like, who's going to help hold him over? Like McTominay? Like that's that really it? Like, because you can't imagine Varane's going to be there much longer. Martinez.
I mean, Varane's also quite old as well, isn't he? Isn't he like 32, 33 already?
And
I mean, he's no Thiago Silva. Don't get me wrong, but
and Johnny Evans is old, and Harry Maguire breathes air through his mouth, not through his nose.
And points at things.
Just so. You start to wonder, like, what are going to be the pieces to this team?
What are going to be the pieces? Why'd you go all Italian?
Because
what are going to be the pieces?
Well, you know, you're the one that reads all this shit into it, man. Just settle
down. This is funny.
So what will be those, like, there are some pieces, but there's not a lot of pieces. We've seen already by what happened in January, every team is afraid of the FFP rules
now,
because...
Yep.
They see people are getting busted.
Well, so,
for
so
it.
Not, I don't think United really is worried about FFP because their merchandise sales are still second to absolutely nobody, and only rivaled by Real Madrid, really.
Right.
And of course they own Old Trafford outright,
right?
Which is a huge, huge asset and complete profit every match day,
right?
And probably, you know, rivals. Name any attraction. Tourist attraction in England.
True.
Old Trafford rivals it, right? As I'm sure it's top five visited venues in England, period.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if I had the opportunity to go see Everton play at Old Trafford, I would absolutely.
I'd love to go to a game at Old Trafford because it's a storied old stadium. Yeah. I want to see the Trafford end where Beckham scored that goal against Greece to send England to the World Cup on the final match day of qualifiers. Like, it's a storied old stadium. I want to go to Anfield. Right. I've told you this. Like, I'd love to see these grounds. Mm-hmm. It's a shame I didn't get to take a shit and miss the toilet at White Hart Lane. Mm-hmm. Wanted to do that. But I'll just have to settle for the new place.
Heard.
But so I don't think they are worried about FFP. I think everything surrounding the Jim Ratcliffe situation is what stopped United from investing in January.
Fair. Okay. Gotcha.
But that's a very specific thing. I think everybody else is fucking worried. Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
But because United are the commercial behemoth that they are, I don't think that they're necessarily concerned because there's never been questions about what they're doing.
So
you know what I mean? Never once have they been brought up on charges for any of it.
That's true.
But they spend hundreds of millions of pounds every transfer window.
Right.
And it's because they're just such a commercial behemoth.
Yeah, they just have a blank check.
Mm-hmm.
They just print money. It's easy for them.
100%.
Now, City shows resiliency. They get through the big match. Now it's on to Anfield and Liverpool next week.
It's all going to depend on for that. Here's a injury time preview. Patreon.com/dfootballshow, actually, to find out the full thoughts and concerns about us. It's all about the injuries, man.
Yeah.
It really is. Who's fit? I would argue, I bet you some of those players are fit and he's just not putting them on the bench because he saw a manageable bit of the schedule that he could give them rest following their injuries.
Mm-hmm.
So he just says, oh, they're still injured.
Got it. Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And they've just been resting and now they're going to come out of the block swinging on Saturday or Sunday rather.
Well, unless of course.
Felt it. It was windy like crazy. People love when I talk about the wind, but it was windy, and it's not good for football. And so we had really to work hard.
We now turn our attention to the bottom of the table, as none of the sides fighting to survive improved their place at all. Liverpool 1, Forest 0, West Ham 3, Everton 1, Aston Villa 3, Luton 2. Forest had chances in this match. They had some, I mean, it was a lot of Liverpool controlling, but there was multiple times where clear-cut good scoring opportunities happened for Forest that they could have gone up 1-0 at any time and changed the course of the game.
Kelleher made a good save.
Mm-hmm.
Sells made a good save. And then nothing else happened for the remainder of the 90 minutes in the allotted 8 minutes.
Yeah.
And then super imaginary special time happened. And Nunez gets a goal in the 99th minute.
I would like
because,
to...
Because that's what they're doing with Liverpool. Imagine... So my actual joke was an imaginary Narnia stoppage time.
Right. So
they definitely grabbed that minute from the back of the closet. But there was a issue with a couple of instances implemented by Paul Tierney. I kind of missed it. I heard somebody else, another pundit, talking about this today on the radio, but there was some sort of situation where the referee blew up and the ball called back and essentially an uncontested drop ball given to the opposing team. And it happened once for Forest, happened once for Liverpool.
Mm-hmm.
The one for Forest, though, was happening on the break and very well could have scored. But they are there was only 4 shots on target in the entire match, 2 for each team.
Yeah.
It was dreadful.
Now the
But that's what happens when a mediocre at best football team plays very good children.
Yeah. here was the one thing I was gonna bring up that I found very interesting is that remember, famously said by Jurgen Klopp, you never played the game. You shouldn't ref the game. You don't know anything. I didn't see him giving Paul Tierney a hard time about this match, did you?
No.
No, not at all.
Also, Captain Chaos obviously got the header, old Darwin Nunez. Yep. I, for one, despite how well we dealt with Liverpool when we played them, I personally am one that is intimidated because after that goal, he does the knee slide, fine, but gets up. And then absolutely boots the fuck out of the advertising hoarding with his foot.
Yeah.
You are a footballer. That is a very hard object.
A lot of our team is hurt. We don't need you hurt, too.
Yeah. Honey Badge don't give a fuck. You know what I'm saying? He just does not care. That is very intimidating. I can't remember specifically who it was, but for some reason, there's a story throughout history that sticks in my mind is the two armies line up on the field of battle. This is in the very, very olden days. And one of the generals turns to his second in command and slits his throat and then just stares back at the other army.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I'm just showing you that I don't fucking care. You know what I'm saying? It's like standing up in front of a room being berated and then just wetting yourself.
Right.
And looking at somebody and then smiling and tilting your head. You know what I'm saying? It's like, fucking this dude's off his rocker.
This dude's insane.
Liverpool have 14 fucking injuries from their first kind of 20 players, right? And Darwin Nunez goes and boots the fuck out of the advertising hoarding. In time that doesn't matter, as soon as Forrest kick the ball off, that whistle's going, and he knows that. Fuck, full bore, right into the advertising. Fuck, this dude doesn't care.
Captain Chaos don't give a fuck.
He has nothing to lose. Honey Badger don't give a fuck.
Exactly. Yeah, he's got the ponytail and everything. I'd say
that's
he's got
the scary bit. I know. That's the scary bit. I bet you he's impervious to venom and STDs.
Yeah, probably is.
He's a fairly attractive Latin man.
Yeah,
come
on. Uruguayan man, there's a little crazy going on, and I mean,
I just hope he doesn't start biting people like the other lads.
Just reference all of their time in the World Cup. Every match, something fucking insane happens. You're just like, Jesus.
Well,
Christ.
Most of them were the same bloke, though, to be fair.
True, very true. Of course, the one thing that what ultimately mattered for Liverpool is Liverpool found a way to ensure that they would still be at the top of the table, because if there was that draw, they'd suddenly be in third place right now.
Yeah, definitely.
So you find a way. That's the biggest thing.
Yep.
And now it comes down to, obviously, Liverpool and City.
Well, it also, I said all those jokes. Obviously. It's not Liverpool's fault that Paul Tierney didn't blow the fucking whistle.
No, it's not.
It's their fault. It's his fault. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So you can only play what's in front of you, and you can only play under the rules that you're being governed by.
Right.
And they did that. They played till the final whistle and they got the win. And the mark of, we've said this how many times, the mark of a good team, or a championship team especially, is winning in all sorts of ways. If it's ugly, if it's dominant, if it's whatever, you find a way to get over the line in one way or another. And sometimes that's easier than not. And in this game was difficult, and they found a way to still do it. And that is scary for everybody else.
Yeah.
Because they're only going to improve
right.
as people come back healthy.
Right. People are going to come back healthy. They're only going to get better.
Right.
Now, it's funny. West Ham has been struggling until obviously the big win over Brentford last week with the 4-2. This was about as Moisey West Ham as I've ever seen it get. Areola stands on his head, makes 9 fucking saves, including a penalty, which, by the way, wasn't that bad of a penalty. It was a fairly decent penalty from that.
Yeah, I mean, it had good direction, but it did not have the pace on it that it needed.
Right.
He also kind of telegraphed it a little bit, which is, I think, where Areola got to it. But this first half made another
4 great saves.
Yeah, but this first half for me was fucking dreadful.
Oh, my God, yes.
And it was only made worse by that Beto penalty decision. Actually, the highlight for the first half for me was finding out that Lucas Paqueta just wears regular-ass Calvin Klein underwear while he plays.
Yeah.
It's not like fancy sliders with tape all over. Nope. He just has some regular-ass Calvin Klein's on.
Real old Jaws.
That's what I'm wearing right now.
Very good.
You know what I'm saying? That's very interesting.
The one thing that is the...
That's
the,
how ugly the first half was
the,
in this
the conspiracy
game.
Theorist in me, because, you know, the league hates Everton, as I've often mentioned. That is the first penalty Everton was awarded this season. And they had to really go look at that at VAR. Like, the man's hand is completely away from his butt. I swear to you, I want to say Stockley Road told him to go over and take a look at it, and the entire time they're going back and forth going, we got to figure out a way to say this isn't a handball, right? How we can figure this one out? It's like, dude, his arm's completely away from his body. We can't do it, mate. Come on, we got to figure out a way to say it's not a handball.
I also want to say about the penalty real quick, too, before we move on from that, because I think just as an adult male, you should be striking the ball a lot firmer than that. That 90-year-old blind four supporter that we shared the video of the other day on the socials, she probably could have gotten over to save that penalty. That's how slow it was hit.
Man. I don't think it was a terrible penalty. I honestly do not think it was a terrible penalty.
But fast.
Now, taking,
Jesus Christ.
Taking that away, brilliant.
That's fast. That's very fast.
But
good work.
The thing that again is worth mentioning is Areola made, of the 9 saves, not including the penalty, he made another 4 great. There was one he took off of inside the 6 Dwight McNeil's shot inside the 6.
That didn't count as a shot because
and he held it too, which was even more impressive.
Yep.
All that happens, Everton still find a way to take the lead.
Yeah.
They still finally
Beto
take the lead.
Beto did make good finally. And that was a lovely finish.
And then it was 2 bad set pieces, which is funny because prior to the game against Brighton, Everton hadn't conceded a single goal on a corner, and they've now conceded 3 on corners. Couple that with the last goal at the end was just comedic because bad corner that Garner mishandles, that then boom, next thing you know, they're down the field, and Alvarez, of all people, the defensive midfielder who sometimes slots in at center back, is the one who ends up putting the ball away. So it was 3-1. Everton were the better side. They just got West Hammed. They got moist.
That's
exactly what happened. They got moist.
Everton had one glaring absence at Goodison Park.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope he's okay.
Uh-huh.
But the Goodison Cat wasn't there to provide the luck, and I think it's obviously because Kurt Zuma was in the building.
And had to hide. That's a good assessment. Good assessment. So, Mr. Graham, allow me to now take my shot of Malort. For those of you who do not know, every single time our team loses, we do shots of Malort. We have
regularly voted the worst alcohol in the world, tasting.
We have a bevy of Malort.
Types of Malort,
we
yes.
We have the original, we have the barrel-aged, and then because I hate myself and felt like spending $150, which I did find out, it all actually went to charity. 100%
oh, good.
Of the
awesome.
I have the pumpkin spice. So I poured myself the original. I have become so familiar with fucking Jepson's Malort, Mr. Graham. I have the fucking book on it, Mr. Graham. I have the... Please, for all of our listeners, please tell everybody what we got there.
So we got by Kevin D. Ryan, we have the Jepson's Malort, the book.
You should probably open up the front
discover
there and
the
read.
History, tradition, and two-fisted drinkers behind Chicago's iconic drink of choice.
Why don't you read our inscription there at the beginning?
DUFS, DU Football, Drunken United Football Show, that's us. Remember... There is always something worse than losing. Malort! Cheers.
Fuck off.
And then a signature, which I can't read. I assume it's Kevin Ryan.
Yeah, it's Matt Kevin.
Okay.
I've had too much of this in this season. I've had too much of this for the last three seasons.
Yeah.
Fuck this world. Yep. Fuck you. But Shore Billy, just for you, it's out of a Newcastle glass, so.
That was started during the Steve Bruce years.
Yeah, well, the Mike Ashley years, or as like we like to call it.
This is like a history of Malort. Yeah, this is awesome.
History of Malort and all the good stuff.
I do like that it was founded in 1945. Doesn't say the date it was founded. But it does say that it was founded in 1945. This guy owned Malort from 1945 to 1999.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, World War II was just wrapping up, and he was like, you know what the world needs? A reminder of how shit things can be. Let's make Malort. fucking great.
Well, there we have it.
That's fucking great.
Speaking of someone who hasn't had to do any Malort, but was getting nervous there for a little bit, Aston Villa. Fucking... Ollie Watkins comes out quick with a brace.
The early pressure again from Villa, and it just the inevitable is an Ollie Watkins goal. It was fucking decent as well. Kaminsky did play well, I thought. He made good saves on Ramsey and Ollie Watkins to begin the game, really. But the perfectly timed run by Ollie Watkins, it finished calm in a far corner for that second goal. It's just delicious. Ivan Toney's going to have trouble getting into the England squad now because Ollie Watkins is going to be Harry Kane's backup.
Yeah, that is the case.
Period.
Yeah, absolutely. That's how it's going to go.
Ivan Toney's not getting past Watkins.
No, not at this point.
No.
There was a stage at the beginning
he
of the season.
He can't always move the ball behind the refs in the face.
Before he got banned, there was a stage where I thought very much so Ivan Toney would be the number two.
Yep.
Because Callum Wilson couldn't stay fit. Dominic Calvert-Lewin's been playing like shit. And Ollie Watkins was doing well, but Ivan Toney does more for the team. Drop deep, passing, that kind of stuff.
Hey, guys, I think Christian might be having a stroke. He says, I like Malort in the chat. I'm very worried about our favorite patient.
Wouldn't it be a son of a bitch if Malort saves his life?
That's what's keeping him alive through all these miracle surgeries.
If he goes to like the clinic and they're like, bro, you're healed. And he's like, what have you been doing differently? Well, I recently discovered Malort. What?
Yeah. Malort, the cure-all.
It was...
I mean, it definitely kills COVID.
I met up with Villanista Cole and Joe and Joe's son to watch the match. And it became apparent after Luton scored... the first time that we were in the minority in that bar of people cheering for Aston Villa. Everybody else was cheering for Luton openly and loudly.
Yeah, everyone. We're just like, come on, Luton, come on, you Hatters. Everybody was in on Luton. And then, of course, they level it up and everybody's going crazy. And would it surprise you to hear that...
I take my sweatshirt off, and I'm like, oh, I've got to get serious now.
Would it surprise you to hear that...
and then you started crying.
Luton was scoring their goals off set pieces. Would that surprise you?
I'm cheering for my team.
I was going to say, would it surprise you to hear that Luton was scoring all their goals off set pieces?
No. Not at all. So they had that little blip, right, of Luton... just before halftime, had a decent little stretch of play, mm-hmm. like 3-4 minutes right before halftime. Mm-hmm. Obviously gave them the platform to come out swinging in the second half.
Right.
And they did. Villa were kind of shell-shocked at the beginning of that second half. Mm-hmm. Oh, fuck, I wasn't ready for them to... I thought they were just going to lay over and die
we,
now.
We figured this was a scrimmage.
Yeah.
You guys are competing?
2-0 up wasn't a problem.
You want it to be a scrimmage, it needs to be 5-0 at halftime. Mr. Graham will tell you how that works.
Yeah, we'll teach you how to make a scrimmage out of a real game.
I mean, do that with Liverpool.
I mean, we beat them too.
7-0? Huh.
Oh, that's years ago. And you had to...
Can't take it away from her.
You had $100 million less in your pockets because you had one Jackie Grealish. Don't forget.
Can't take it away from her.
I'm not trying to take it away. I'm just saying circumstances were different. Yeah. That's all I'm saying. Anyway, was that Unai Emery?
No.
Steven Gerrard?
I don't remember.
Yeah, it was Stevie G.
Yeah.
Wow. He's in Saudi Arabia now.
Yeah.
Begging for his life.
Somebody.
Kind of. His team sucks, apparently.
So, you know how there's always kind of like the trolling posts, like different sports groups will put up like their post, and they put up the post to kind of troll people. They show a picture of Stevie G, like as a kid. And it was like the last time he's in a Liverpool kit and everything and like shining his shoes and says, the last time Everton won a title, you know, Stevie G was in the youth system. Since then he's done blah blah blah, like the whole thing.
Yeah.
Where he's managed, played for England, the whole nine. First comment, I loved it. One of my brethren, an Everton player is going to win a Premier League title before he does.
Dang!
Yeah. So and there's a couple other things. How wild was that goal mouth scramble?
Oh my God.
For Chong's goal. Mm-hmm. The only reason, as I was watching the highlights, the only reason I knew where the ball was is because of Chong's hair.
Just
which way he was
looking.
Yeah. It's the only, what's the matter? What's happening? Dude, and I just focused in on his hair.
He was a problem.
Yeah, he is. He's very energetic. Very energetic player.
The ref was not calling anything for the first, half of the game. And it's fine. It happens. But then Douglas Luiz, like, barely touches the guy and suddenly yellow card. And it's like, ooh. What are we doing?
What are we doing?
And then when the other guy started chanting Luton, Luton, then Cole. Oh, Miss Cole got fired up. So when we scored the third goal, she was screaming loud, and we definitely did a chest bump at the end of the game and did a victory lap around, waving our kits in the air as we danced around in our bras.
Two women doing a chest bump?
I believe you said...
It's kind of hot, to be honest with you.
I believe you said we got to make our titties bump or some shit like that, loudly for everybody. Like, we got to make our titties bump! And they... Boop.
And then everybody went, fuck Luton.
Not denying that.
Of course, that's Luca Digne gets the game winner.
So happy to see Luca back.
So now here's the thing. It was a lovely finish, by the way.
And
great header.
The broken nose.
It was already kind of janky to begin with, to be honest with you. What I would say now, and you've had some very harsh words for Rafa Benitez in the past, Sam.
Mm-hmm.
Believe Rafa was the manager when you sold Luca Digne.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure you've seen all of the various posts shared about how Arsene Wenger's playing 4D chess, kind of helping Granit Xhaka make the decision to move to Leverkusen, which ultimately is about to stop Harry Kane from winning a title. Arsene Wenger does it again, you know, Le Pauf. So,
I know where you're going, but no.
Rafa Benitez, 4D chess, sells Luca Digne, your best player arguably at the time, to Aston Villa, to beat Luton, to keep you out of relegation zone and keep them in it. That is amazing. Three years down the line.
Yeah, but it would have been Forrest in the relegation zone, not us.
Well, now that you've gotten points back, but that whole cheating thing kind of...
And just knew Luka would come back for that match.
Yeah.
So
wow. I mean, what foresight. You said he was a ship manager. I think he's excellent.
Here's my final question for you, and then we'll finish up the segment, is... the Hatters have lost a few in a row now, and at some point having a gutsy loss doesn't equal points.
That part is starting to wear thin.
And we still got our three.
Everton gets points back, jump further ahead of them, now sit 5 points ahead of them in the drop, and you lose another one at the death to one of the big teams.
At home.
How much more of this do you think Luton can take?
It's going to depend how bad Forest are for the remainder of the season, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I think Luton have the best platform to do something, but they are not very good. They're spirited. They're giving their all. But it's a tough old league, man.
And I know Everton has not won in 2024, but they've also only lost twice.
Yep.
Like, so they're at least getting points.
Yeah.
Luton's not. And that's where you have to start to wonder. It's like, how much longer can they continue to kind of take?
But how bad everyone else has been, what I'm saying is that they're still leaving themselves an opportunity, even though they're not getting wins.
Yeah.
Is the thing.
Well, next
and I think they're playing the best out of those teams down there. I think they're performing the best and have the best opportunity to get points. They just need to turn those performances and get them over the line into wins.
Yeah, but if it keeps happening, I mean, will the points come? I'm not sure they will.
Yeah, I really don't know.
I was talking with a Palace supporter, and that's who they play next is at Palace. And it almost feels like both of us kind of agreed. It was like, it almost feels like it's too much for them. Like, it's almost too much. Rounding out the rest of the league, and oh, so that happened. Brentford 2, Chelsea 2, Fulham 3, Brighton 0, Newcastle 3, Wolverhampton 0, Tottenham 3, Palace 1, Bournemouth 2, Burnley 0, Arsenal 6, Sheffield United 0. This was a hard match to figure out either side. Nicholas Jackson scored. Everton also wasted a
shit ton of opportunities.
Everton got a penalty, and the third sign of the apocalypse we'll talk about here in a few games. Chelsea goes up, seems to be in control of the game. Then, boom, next thing you know, Brentford's up. Brentford feels like they're going to probably hold on to it, give it away. Like, it just... It feels like exactly what it was. It felt like an 11th place team playing a 13th place team.
Oh, big time.
Exactly what that match felt like.
I mean, Chelsea wasted an opportunity to kill the game off when they were 1-0 up, and it fell to their best player, Cole Palmer, and it was a terrible strike. His body shape was all wrong.
Mm-hmm.
It was a good 3-4 yards wide of the goal, and it was pretty straight on, at least to test the goalkeeper, and he just wasn't attuned to it. Just wasn't great. Nicholas Jackson had a couple of chances to put himself in a position, but somehow healed the ball doing a step over.
Yeah.
Like, he's dog shit.
We need to remember, it's more likely that Nicholas Jackson will fuck up scoring than score.
He's fit.
And again,
somehow,
we will mention that about another player in a few matches.
He has somehow failed upwards.
Yeah. Yeah,
into a position starting for Chelsea Football Club. And I'm not sure how it's happened, because I do not rate him at all as a footballer. I think his temperament is garbage, and he doesn't really provide a lot of anything, really, in my view. I think Raheem Sterling would be a better choice to lead the line.
I think Nkunku would be a better choice to lead
the line, but they won't start him. He's still sitting on the bench. Or Madueke or somebody. Other than Nicholas Jackson. Nico Jackson's not doing a goddamn thing for me.
And they're going to have to make changes at the end of the season, because unless they figure out a way to win the FA Cup, they ain't going to Europe.
Mm-mm.
Which means less money in the coffers, which means
more questions about
more
FFP.
More questions about FFP. And yeah, they deferred a lot of that money over the course of 8 years on a lot of these players, but they're going to have to start turning some profit in here soon. And it can't just be they sold Mount last year, they're going to sell Gallagher this off season. Like, it's going to have to be more than that, because they only got so many homegrown players they can sell, man. Yep. Like,
that are pure profit. You're absolutely right.
Right.
And the other ones aren't providing the performances to warrant a decent fee.
Exactly.
If they wanted to sell them, it's ridiculous. But Wiesa.
Yep.
What a fucking goal.
Back two goals.
Fantastic overhead kick, obviously. It was absolutely brilliant.
Gorgeous.
But Chelsea were on top. Petrovic was untested. They were in control of the game. And then Brentford smash and grab. Bang, bang. Two relatively quick goals. And then Chelsea found their chances to be very few and far between. They just retreat within themselves.
Yeah.
It's almost, honestly, it's almost like they're a kid being abused. They're children, yeah. Right? Dad gets mad, and then you go in your room and turn on My Chemical Romance and don't come out until you're old enough to dye your hair jet black. It's like, what the fuck are you guys doing, man? Like, stand up for yourself, dude. Like, take control of a game and do something. And it was just one moment of quality that finally got Diassi in for the equalizer. Good header, but from Brentford's perspective, should have never allowed that chance to happen in the first place.
Right, precisely. Fulham do exactly what we've been saying about Brighton this year. Punch him in the face early, and you've got a good chance of beating this team.
Yeah, the highlighter pink jerseys, all they did was highlight the inconsistency of the young team under De Zerbi, really, mm-hmm. Because they couldn't really get anything going, it felt like. I mean, Fulham were hurrying them. They were forcing them out of their style of play, and mm-hmm. and Fulham were absolutely brilliant. But there could have been a lot of goals in this game, and there just weren't. Leno was stood on his head a bit, mm-hmm. made a couple of very good saves. And then Jason Steele made a few extra saves besides the three goals, obviously, mm-hmm. he let in. It really could have been like 5-4.
Oh, this gosh, game, yes. Gosh, yes, it could have been.
Harry Wilson could have had six of those five goals. Him and Muniz were like holding hands out there. It was brilliant.
It was.
Just they clicked phenomenally in this game.
For Fulham, you figured it out at the right time. You got the right couple of wins. That's probably going to see you over the finish line.
Yeah, I think so too.
You're up for another year, and then now it's figure out what the piece is going to be because you're not keeping Paulinho. Right. So what's going to be that piece? And they're starting to figure it out without him. So that's a good thing. So, but that's really kind of what they're going to be looking at moving forward.
Is
exactly that.
100%.
Great win. Great answer, actually, from Newcastle after the way that they lost to you guys. Now both Wang and Cunha are out for Wolves. And like Saliba's been scoring and Neto's been scoring. Mm-hmm. But it's starting to finally look like
the goals might dry up a bit.
The goals might dry up a bit. But also, again, this team's going to be in and around it, man, hunting for that like seventh place spot. They play good defense. O'Neal has them pretty well tuned in. It was just, I think Newcastle needed this one more.
Yeah, they did. But it also, the first goal was the first two goals, really, like how lucky can you get, right? That deflected shot that was doing nothing, just Isak with a wonderful reaction. Mm-hmm. But Jose Sa was left out to dry by the deflection. Isak was just able to head in.
Right.
It fell to him wide open at the edge of the six.
Right.
There's not a whole lot you can do about that, but just dumb fucking luck. And then a three-way borderline orgy of defensive mistakes. Not stepping to the initial ball, then getting rolled in the manner they did, sliding and missing, and then the goalkeeper I thought could have done a lot better as well for Gordon's goal. So three or four players fucking up right in a row for Wolves there,
right.
which gave Gordon his chance. He should have never had the chance to begin with. It seemed to me a very relatively easy defensive situation to deal with, and they just didn't deal with it.
Yeah, great.
He's very good, and he's come for a lot of praise since he's coming to the team, Livermento. I don't think that was on purpose. I actually wrote the sentence then, accidental fast feet. I don't think he meant that, but it rolled into the back of the net, so well done to him.
I have a feeling we have the show title. She looked right at you and went, grabbed the pen. It was like, yep, there's the show title.
I don't know. It's a good win for Newcastle, obviously, but it wasn't spectacular. But as you say, for anybody in a goal-scoring, goal-facing kind of role in a team, I don't care if you hit it in with the head of your dick. The ball got over the line. You can take confidence from that, right?
Yep.
You just need to get the ball in the back of the net, and they did that in some way, shape, or form, and they will take confidence from that as a team.
Agreed.
And hopefully use this as a platform to make the Piff Posse more money.
Amazing. Eze's back. Guess what Eze does?
The best goal of the weekend.
Yeah,
what a fucking strike that was.
Wow.
Phenomenal strike.
Mm-hmm.
It was absolutely brilliant free kick. Phil Foden was up there too. Huh. The first one.
Yeah, the Rashford one was pretty fucking.
The Rashford one was good.
And the Wiese
one.
But
that was just like a fucking pile driver, though.
There were, and the Wiese goal. There were some great goals.
Yeah,
this
there were some pretty good goals. Yeah, this Arsenal really as a team goals. Goal was good. Yeah. Sorry, I was just remembering all six.
we'll get to it in just a second. Here's the third leg of the apocalypse is Timo Werner scored a goal.
I know.
So Jackson scores a goal, Werner scores a goal, and Everton gets a penalty. The world's coming to an end.
So I don't often purposely put egg on my face, right? But I did say Tottenham started very sloppy and gifted Palace a fair few chances. Luckily for them, Palace didn't take them. I said, unlucky for Tottenham, though. The only chance they had in the first half fell to Werner. And the safest space when that happens is between the sticks.
Yes.
I left that in there to purposely put egg on my own face just to, because obviously he did score a very meaty tap in.
Yeah.
He didn't need to do all that, but I guess he wanted to prove a point.
I yelled aloud at the bar when Werner missed the fast break. I was just like, life, death, and Timo Werner cannot score a fucking goal. And Spurs supporters there were like,
you're right.
Yep, not wrong. Yeah. So not wrong.
It was fucking brilliant. The second half, Spurs looked a little bit better, obviously, but Eze just had that ridiculous-ass free kick. But that did wake Tottenham up, and they dominated from that point forward. Christian Romero, what was he doing in that position?
I don't know.
It was weird.
Yeah,
I thought he was going to drop kick the goalie in the chest, but he actually kept his composure and put a header in. Well done to him.
It's his MO.
Yeah, well done to him. And then Son put the cherry on top, obviously, 8 minutes later. Just to heap more sorrow on Palace, really. They had that respite of last weekend where they won, obviously, 3-0 or whatever, or 3-1, whatever it was. But that's it. I don't know. What I loved about the Son finish, though, to send the keeper the wrong way from a full sprint 17 yards out from goal.
Yeah.
The goalkeeper dove the wrong direction.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you beat him that bad.
That actually is quite impressive. Far be it for me to actually praise a Tottenham player properly.
Mm-hmm.
That was fucking kind of dope, to be honest.
So something we were talking about, the cherries and how they have been slipping. Their next five, all teams below them in the table.
Nice.
And they beat, of course, Burnley last week. And then, of course, this week, they beat... wasn't Burnley, it was...
They played Burnley this week.
It was. Yeah. They beat... who they beat last week? They won last week, too. Might have been Sheffield. I think it was Sheffield they beat.
Might have been. I don't remember.
But they beat them. They beat someone below them.
I'm like that Landon Donovan Footlocker commercial. Yeah. What World Cup?
Yeah, what are you talking about?
I don't remember that.
Like a goldfish, baby. Like a goldfish.
I'm like Dory.
Now, the sad part is...
Just keep spewing. Just keep spewing. Absolute dross.
At Turf Moor, Burnley's not able to score. We were talking about this last week. So I've come up with a new Brett conspiracy theory.
Okay.
To kind of keep things rolling.
Yeah.
I think that my new conspiracy theory is that Brett personally picks out companies' t-shirts to wear underneath
nice
his suit. We got to say something about Burnley. So that's my theory this week.
Can I say something annoying and slightly acceptably racist about Burnley?
Mm-hmm.
Scandinavia needs to come up with different ways to name their people because I picked the wrong Scandinavian person to have shots on target. I wanted Brood Larson. I picked Gudmundsson, and it all just sounds the fucking same. And I lost $5 because of it. Fuckers.
What a pain in the ass.
God
done
damn
that,
it.
Done that just suck.
Yeah. Neto with a brilliant save, by the way. Mm-hmm. That save from Brood Larson's free kick was fucking phenomenal.
Yeah, it
and
was.
Literally a quarter of an inch away from being a goal.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Burnley's
they just
Burnley's going down. Yeah. There's just,
so
Burnley's going down.
Each week from here on out, like I said, we got to think of something, just a conspiracy theory with Brett involving Burnley.
Okay.
Because, you know, again, at least Sheffield fought each other last week. I mean, Sheffield didn't do anything this week.
Let's see. I don't even think they did. You know how we always say during a blowout, we expect to see cards, like at least show that you care. I don't even think they did that.
I know. I don't think they got any cards.
Let's see. There was,
dude, it was 3-0 in 14 minutes.
There was one yellow in the 29th minute, and that was it.
I believe you said you had a
it was already 4-0.
you said you had a very simple theory about this game.
Yeah.
That was easy.
Pretty much.
All right, let's move on to the betting. it's just utter and complete domination, really. So from start to finish, there's really no two ways about it. You saw the stat I said about United's possession versus City's shots. That was another good one for us. They only had 19.3% of the ball. We had 22 shots.
Jesus Christ.
By the way, normally when you talk about Arsenal, I put on the screen the pro-Arsenal agenda. I just... can't this time. It's that's even, just too mean.
It's not even worth it. Yeah.
No. I'm like, that's,
I mean, there's
just,
literally nothing else to talk about.
That's like dunking on the short kid.
They had no shots on target.
I'll give you the one big thing that we can talk about here, Graham, is with those goals, you are now 6 goals to the positive against Liverpool, and you are 10 goals to the positive against City.
It's massive.
That is fucking massive.
Double Villas.
It's massive. It's huge. It really is
huge. It's bigly.
It really is fucking brilliant.
There's never been a larger goal differential.
It really is fucking brilliant.
It's doing Arnold.
Do you know that that's 30 goals in 6 games since our warm weather training in Dubai?
That's crazy.
Isn't that intense?
Yeah.
Let's see. Manchester United, just so you know, have scored 37 goals all season.
Mm-hmm.
We've scored 30 in the last 6 games.
That was easy.
Sure money.
That'll definitely get fixed in post.
Actually, wasn't easy, was it?
No, that was trying to figure it out.
I'm gonna keep talking about it so it doesn't get fixed in post because it's really funny to have that dead air while you twiddle the buttons.
Yeah, well, you know.
Brilliant. Okay. I'll just talk about my shit at the end. What did you do? I'm really fucking annoyed by mine.
What did I do, Graham? Only win my 4th in a row. I am now up $82, my good friend. I am back in the black.
Really? You're up $82?
Uh-huh.
All right, then.
Big Sam's Lock of the Week.
Did you know, Mr. Graham, 28.571429% of the time? Works 100% of the time, boys and girls. Keeping the bit going. It's fucking working. Parlay of favorites.
Oh, my God. $82.
I'm taking Arsenal over Brentford.
Big surprise. A parlay of favorites is working.
You know what? I'm in the black. You're not. Fuck off.
Parlay of favorites.
Arsenal over Brentford and West Ham over Burnley at +117.
Okay.
Just keep fucking working my way up.
Keep working your way downtown? Uptown?
Walking fast.
In your homebound.
I'm a Big Sam. Go fuck yourself.
I should probably pull Pat's bet up, shouldn't I?
Oh, should I give you a second to?
No, go ahead. I got it. It's already here.
And now, it's time for our degenerate gambling friend, Pat's Pick of the Week.
I miss talking to Pat.
And guess what he did? The opposite of what you did.
Yeah, he hit. Yeah. Streaking to the End is the title of his email, which makes me think he might be that Super Bowl streaker that put $15 on himself or whatever it was.
Or should change his underwear.
I get it. Well, driving back from another successful golf trip, and my season is starting to turn around. I'm only down $1,320 after another hit last weekend. This week, I'll try a 3-game parlay. United over Everton, Palace over Luton, and West Ham over Burnley. That pays out on $100 at $445. You guys have a great week, and I'm going to sleep for 2 straight days and be on the wagon for a month after this last week.
Well, that's normally what he does. He goes down there and drinks excessively and plays golf.
Yes, he does. So, I am now down 1,347 points.
Big loser.
Or points. Dollars. Not points.
Get my way downtown, walking fast.
Seagulls, go fuck yourself. Because it's them. So that's my losers. Seagulls, go fuck yourself. Because they were the only team that fucked me. Arsenal, I had over 3.5 goals in the game and to win the game, and they had that done by the fucking 20th minute.
Right. Yep.
Absolute cocksucking Seagulls. So this week... I have not learned my lesson. I've got Bournemouth.
9-way parlay.
Almost. I think it's 6. I've got Bournemouth to beat Sheffield, Palace or Luton double chance. Somebody's going to win that game.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. Wolves or a draw with Fulham. on a double chance as well. Arsenal over Brentford, West Ham over Burnley, and City and Liverpool. This is the one that kicked me odds up. City and Liverpool to draw at plus 1722.
Not good gambling.
So I'll be way in the positive if this hits. And way in the title hunt.
How negative are you right now? You're at like 12?
1347.
So is Pat so I'll be better than you?
I'll be 380 to the good. We're very close. What'd I say? I think I'm $27 further down. Yeah, I'm $27 further down. But see, I'm round numbers down. I'm sorry. I'm very odd numbers down because I place good, strong, weird bets that end in 22s. He does favorite shit like you do and gets nice. Oh, I'm going to win 440.
I mean.
And I've actually hit more bets than he has.
You know who else is in the black? The fucking chicken. The
chicken's always in the black.
Well, Kenny hit with the cherries of victory at Burnley. And so she sits at 15 and 11. So this week, I gave Kitty Everton traveling to Man United. Now, Kitty showed me a picture of her with Tim Howard, Phil Neville, and Marquand Fellaini.
Marion Fellaini.
That's exactly
what
I
said. Get Sideshow Bob name right.
That's exactly what I said, which is why it struck me very odd, because all three players spent time with both Everton and Manchester United.
Go figure.
So I guess it looks like Kitty is picking a draw. Guy, this may be the closest Kitty has ever gotten to picking your team.
Yeah, it might be ever, because she always picks my team to lose.
Yep.
Do you know what should never hang you up?
What?
Italian names
mm-hmm.
and gambling illegally. And responsibly.
Except for he's Belgian. And I blocked it. Alrighty, that is going to wrap it up, boys and girls. Mr. Graham, any parting words?
Yeah, I got a couple things here real quick. Apparently this has been around for a long time. So I first came across this, the tune of this chant is an Arsenal chant. It goes, we've won the league at Anfield. It's the Ale, Ale, Ale.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of clubs do Ale, 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 but change the words up, obviously. And then it says, we won it at the Lane. Stamford Bridge, Old Trafford. No one can say the same. Mikel Arteta's army. We're Arsenal through and through. We'll sing it in the North Bank and in the clock and two. Ale, Ale, Ale. Right?
Yeah.
So what I heard... like I said, the video is 4 years old, so it's been around for a bit. But it's a big old fat dude in the stands at a lower league club. And it said, I've conquered all the chippies. I'm never gonna stop. Chips and peas and gravy. I've ate the fucking lot.
Yeah, you have.
Pepperoni pizza and chicken vindaloo. I'm a big fat bastard. And I love my fucking food.
Attaboy.
Ale, ale, ale. It was very fucking funny. I saw that, I almost fell off the toilet.
hey, which
that's
is
where he consumes all of his video social diet. Media,
yeah.
Hey, Mel, a positive. Mm-hmm. Typically, that's where he cries. So at least he laughed this time on the toilet.
That's also where I respond to most of the Facebook chat. So imagine that while you're taking in my. My hard-hitting analysis.
Mm-hmm.
And last thing, somebody put this up. I think it's accurate. So far in 2020, this got Shore Billy all riled up earlier, too. So far in 2024, Sheffield United have the fourth most goals at their home stadium. They've only scored four, which is behind Brighton and Hove Albion in third, Aston Villa in second, and now Arsenal in first place, having scored more goals in 2024.
Then Sheffield United.
Obviously, aww. Newcastle have had eight there, but that was last year. This season, but last year.
Fucking brilliant.
And I have one D-back.
All right.
For the added super extra makeup Narnia time that was in the Liverpool game, did you happen to see what happened in España?
Mm-mm.
Real Madrid tied 1-1 deep into stoppage time. About 12 seconds prior to the end of stoppage time, a ball gets crossed in, So in the attacking phase, with the potential for a chance on goal, the whistle gets blown and 2 seconds goes by from leaving foot to ball in back of net from Jude Bellingham. And the referee ended the fucking game. Tied 1-1. Ball wow. was in the attacking third, and a cross was being put in as he blew the whistle.
And oh, that's some bullshit.
After it left the player's foot, it was in the back of the net in literally two seconds.
And he had already blown the whistle.
And he had already blown the whistle what? As the player was crossing.
Wow. Which,
dickhead, you don't do that, especially in a, what referee blows while a team has a chance?
Keeper saves it. The ball gets and knocked I away. Get it. Immediately blow the whistle. The ball gets knocked out of the box, blow the whistle.
But if you're 5-0 up and clean through on goal running from half field, blow the whistle, fine. This is 1-1.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, the ultimate antithesis to what happened at Liverpool was obviously the African referee that had the heat stroke and blew it like 82 minutes and was like, right. fuck this, we're out.
Game's over.
Game's Sorry. Over.
It was
fuck
hot.
It. No, he was suffering from heat stroke. It was a big deal, yeah. but it still is funny. This referee's just a fucking dickhead.
Yeah.
It just D-back, you don't man. Know. Just don't
Maybe
be a cunt.
Maybe his parking was about to expire.
The best bit of the game is goals. Stop doing shit to take goals away.
Yeah, don't take goals away.
Come on, man.
Do not take goals away. Alrighty, thank you so much for joining us, everybody. Next up, we're going to continue the stream and have the EFL show.
Yes.
And, of course, after that, we're going to do Injury Time, where we preview the weekend's action. We talk about our adopted club. Also, a little bit of a change at the top of the Scottish Premier League, by the way.
Yes.
And we will talk about the beers we've been drinking. Should somebody want to find Injury Time, Mr. Graham, how'd they go about doing it?
It's very easy. It's patreon.com/DFootballShow. And you just sign up to that $1, $5 tier. You get all that extra goodies.
And should
can
you,
I tell you what's yeah? not on top of the Scottish Premiership?
What's that?
Remember the thing I shared in the Drunken United, which you should get on, Drunken United FC on Facebook, that closed group. The Hearts, was it Hearts midfielder that got, after scoring the goal, got the pie thrown at him. He caught it and ate it in one awesome motion, one William Wallace-looking motion. They were at Hearts Stadium.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, for that. During the post-match, said he only rated the pie 1 out of 10. Don't be rating your own pies that way, man.
Right.
So that pie is not on top of the Scottish Premiership, I'll tell you that.
That should have been your D-back of the week. Who goes around putting out 1-star reviews on free pies?
Or if only it was an IB supporter, the away supporters that threw the fucking pie at him, that I was going to be talking about an Injury Time. But good job, guys. Good timing. Great comedic timing. You all are on fire.
Hey, Sam, guess what?
What?
One day there won't be any more penguins.
I think we were running out of puffins first. I think your sadness should be placed elsewhere here.
Puffins.
Podcast! Till next week, everybody.
Good night.
Born in the land of Bowie, Maryland. Bred to be a fan of fucking Everton. Punch you in the eye and drink your rye. Sam Houston.
Sam Houston.
Arsenal fans have another Sam. AKA the fucking Gooner Graham. Stump of a lord. Looks great in shorts. Sam Grammy.
Sam Graham.
Drunken United! Drunken United! Get the fucking new button!